afternoon, y'all. It's time for another Rodney Perry Live. I appreciate all of y'all for tuning in. As usual, the shows have been getting hotter and hotter and hotter, and we can't do nothing but thank y'all for tuning in. That's what it's all about. This particular show, I'm excited about my guest, man. Y'all know I'm an R&B head, and this guy that I'm about to talk to, man, is really one of those guys, man. Glenn Lewis has been doing his thing for so long, and he's one of them guys that, you know, his voice and his style, it always resonates. So I can't wait to chop it up with him and for us to get to know him together. So y'all get ready and buckle your seatbelts. This is Rodney Perry. You're tuned into Rodney Perry Live. Y'all stay right there.
What did I do with my last 5 hours? Let's see. I was a dietitian, a housekeeper, a pediatrician. Yeah, that was a third degree boo-boo. A housekeeper, a sanitation engineer, a housekeeper. Good thing I have 5 hour energy to keep me going. What will you do with your next 5 hours? What's up, everybody around the world? Thanks for tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. Remember to follow Rodney on Twitter at Rodney Perry. And for all of your Rodney Perry updates, text Rodney Perry with no spaces to 41411. Again, to stay up to
date. If you're looking for the latest in comedy, news, and entertainment, the only place to go is the Humor Mill. Check out the website, humormillmag.com. Humor Mill, the only place for comedy, news, and entertainment. I see you, Frank.
You know what time it is. Your boy Rodney Perry is coming to a city near you. That's right, a city near you. Go to my website, www.rodneyperry.com. www.rodneyperry.com. That's right, the Black Tour is coming your way. And it's dark skin, dog.
Yeah, don't sound like Tommy. I'm sorry, Tommy.
Hey, y'all, we are back in full effect. This is your boy, Rodney Perry. You're tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. Man, we can't hold this show back. This show is coming at you so cold, so live, so direct. And you said, Rodney, what you talking about? Well, we got one of the guys that I think is really arguably one of the most talented vocalists of our time, man. Just a super dope guy. Not only a singer, but a producer, songwriter, all the stuff in between. I'm sure if he get in the studio, something magical got to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, let's bring him to the mic, my man Glenn Lewis. What's up, Glenn?
What's up, RP? What's the deal, Rodney? How you feeling, man?
Man, I'm trying to get it in, man. Man, I'm really excited to talk to you, man. You know, my audience knows I'm an R&B head, man. I love the real singers, the real performers, that good music. And, man, you're one of those guys, man. How have you been able to maintain your style in this game that's ever-changing with auto-tune and all the little tricks of the trade that's popping up now?
I mean, I think people can appreciate consistency. You know what I'm saying? I mean, with anything, you know what I mean? As long as you performing up to a certain caliber, and you maintain consistency and quality in your work, I think, you know, people will always be able to appreciate that. They'll always, you know, they'll always come back to see what you're doing. You'll always be relevant in what they're doing. And I've been, you know, I've really been blessed that way, man. I just, you know, I try to work hard at my craft and, you know, hope people appreciate it. You feel me?
Man, you got the pedigree. You know, speak to me on your journey, man, and the early part, and then what it is now as a grown man. Like,
okay,
Talk to me what it was like, you know, when you was bright eyed and bushy tailed, and then what is it now for you to be a grown man in this game?
Right. I mean, you know, for me, starting out, it was all about just wanting my music to be heard and just wanting to get on. You know what I mean? And then after a while, you start to realize that it's not really an I thing. You know, it's a lot like, you know, I'm a b-ball fan to death. Like, I love hoops. And it's really about team. It's really about the people you surround yourself with, which is going to be instrumental in your success in a lot of ways. I mean, you might be the star player, but you need that squad around you that's going to keep you, you know, keep your eye on the prize and keep you focused. So a lot of the folks around me, that became, you know, that became important about selecting the right people around me, and also
right.
respecting the business, and respecting, you know, not making it all about the business, but respecting the craft that I'm in, and being aware of the fact that it's about the giving. You know what I'm saying? It's about what you put into that work, and you know, you'll see the fruits of that. Like, people will appreciate when you're putting in that hard work, and when you're reaching out to the people and you're making it genuine. It's not something that's contrived, you know, and you just basically showing folks, it's like, yo, this is what I have to offer from me to you. You know, hopefully they appreciate the conversation, they appreciate the energy, and it's shown thus far. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's one of the most rewarding aspects of it. So I probably say that those things are over time have been the things that I've sort of honed in on and sort of refined me as I've matured as an artist as well as just a person.
Man, that's such a great answer, man, because, you know, I think I'm on a similar journey as a comedian, and I can remember it being all about the work, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
my family took a back seat, you know, everybody. You know,
yeah,
I was just out there grinding and hustling.
Right.
But I think that was necessary for that moment.
Uh-huh.
But as an older man now, as I get a little more grown, a little more respectful of the
yeah.
journey, I think I got a new respect. So, man, I really appreciate that. What was it like to grow up in Toronto?
I mean, you know, for the most part, you know, the things that we go through, the human experience is probably, this, I would imagine, the same wherever you go. Just people's
uh-huh.
process and how they do things. You know, and even culturally, there might be little differences. I know when I first made the jump, you know, coming south and moving to Philly, living in Philly, it was a little bit of a culture shock, because I always respect the traditions of the music. Like, I loved, you know, the music that my parents played around the house, and I loved R&B in general on the come up, listening to, like, Boyz II Men and listening to Guy and, you know, Mary J. Blige and everybody. So I always loved the music, but the culture and the people, and, you know, like, I mean, for the most part, it's funny, you know, without making it too deep, man, black people are the same wherever you go, man. We love to eat, we love to have a good time, it's good energy,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to really make it all that deep, but, I mean, there was, like, little differences, but, I mean, you know, it didn't really take a whole lot of time for me to just be able to make that transition, because, like I said, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, man, people just want to live happy lives, make their families proud, make a little money
right.
on the side, do their thing, and enjoy life, you know what I mean? So once you make that connection with folks, it's like, oh, cool, you know, it pretty much don't even matter where you're from.
Yeah, the black experience is the black experience. Now,
it is what it is.
I got to ask you this, because I got schooled. I got a chance to go on Tom Joyner Cruise this past year, and I met some young ladies from Canada, and they was
yep.
like, yo, there are Canadians that are black,
yep.
and then there are black Canadians. So, I don't know if I'm even being, I don't know if I'm eloquently saying this right, but I guess most people that are black that live in Canada are usually from the islands some kind of way, like Jamaica. But there are some black Canadians. So, are you a black Canadian?
I guess I would say I'm a black Canadian. I'm first generation. Like, you see,
exactly.
The funny thing is that was another thing that was kind of crazy to me. Like, moving to the States, talking to different folks, and they're like, yeah, man, I'm like 14th generation, 18th generation. I'm like, what? Like, most of the blacks that are in Canada, as deep as you'll get is maybe like third generation or something like
okay.
that. That's excluding, like, you know, Nova Scotia, you know, like, I'll give you a little history lesson. Not that I even know all the, like, the pertinent details, but I just say, like, you know, with the whole Underground Railroad, a lot of slaves, a lot of blacks, you know, they migrated their way up north, made their way out to Nova Scotia. So a lot of the blacks that are settled there, they're like, you know, that's different. That's like 10, you know, 10th generation, 12th generation, 13th,
wow.
and so on. But, like, most of the blacks that are in Canada, like my parents, you know, they moved to Canada, my mom being from Trinidad, my dad being from Jamaica, and then they, you know, they had me. And, yeah, so I'm like first generation, man.
Wow, awesome, man. Man, you got the new project is about to hit the streets. Moment of Truth. What is that title? What is that? What is? What are you saying to the people?
I mean, it's a combination of things. It's, you know, it's sort of a, it's sort of like for me, it's like, you know, the opportunity to finally have this project coming out for anybody that's a fan and that, you know, has kind of followed my career or has followed my career. You know, for them, actually, it's kind of a moment of truth. Like, man, dude, you know, we waited a while for this, so this better, you know, this better be that work. You know what I mean? So
right.
There's a little bit of that, because pretty much everybody I run into or emails I get is like, man, when you coming with that project, man? When you coming with that music? And I'm always, I'm always telling folks, I'm coming. But finally, you know, having this opportunity. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, it's pretty much that simple. A part of where the title also came from is my focus song to song on the album was to make each record a conversation, like a kind of moment of truth, being in that moment and a truth of just being able to share. So, you know, whether it's talking about an experience in a relationship or, you know, or what it's like when you really care about somebody and you want to take it to that next level, but it's like there might be things that's happening around it, whatever, just the basis of the conversation, just being those separate individual moments of truth, those separate, you know, true conversations that you might have with a friend. I really wanted to establish that and have that type of energy on the album and for it to translate live. So that was really a big deal for me. So that's more or less kind of where the title came from.
Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. We're talking to my man, Glenn Lewis. You can check his website out. That's Glenn Lewis Official. Glenn Lewis Official. And you're at Being Glenn Lewis on Twitter. Man, you about to get back out there, the new project. Are you excited about going out and hitting that road again?
Oh, man, absolutely. You know, being able to, you know, chop it up with folks and just, you know, touch the people and you know, just having the opportunity to connect again like that. There's no feeling like it, and in and of itself it's a high in and of itself. Like, I mean, you as a comedian, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, being able to get out there and, you know, connect with folks and see them laugh and that whole energy and just, you know, it's almost like a living room type vibe, and you like the host and you catering to your people. So at least that's, you know, that's a feeling that I get. So I love that. I mean, and it doesn't hurt, you know what I'm saying, a little attention, you know what I'm saying, you might get from, you know, little fans and stuff you might meet
right
here and there, and you know what I'm saying. So other than that, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a great experience. I'm absolutely excited.
Now, I hate to say comeback, because I think comeback leans to the thought that a person has not been doing nothing. I know Glenn Lewis been getting it in. So what have you been getting into?
I mean, you know, in that off time, you know, it's just, for the most part, like anybody else, man, trying to hold down family, take care of my folks, writing and producing, you know, vocal arrangements for different artists. Had an opportunity to work with Maya and a lot of different artists here and there over the, you know, past few years. So I've stayed busy that way. You know, done a couple shows here and there. I've gone to London, done some shows, going to Paris, done some shows. So, you know, still keeping myself in the loop, but just, you know, it's a whole other thing, you know, having a project coming out and having to support and promote a project. It's an entirely different thing, different level of exposure and everything. But for the most part, I've been living, man. I've been very blessed, man. You know what I mean? Just being able to do what I love, make a living by it, making sure the family is cool, and I mean, that's pretty much been about it, bro.
Man, that's so dope. Now, let me ask you this. As a person who creates,
yeah,
whether that be creating, you know, your own project or creating for others, is that energy when you're helping somebody else different? Do you have to program? Do you have to tell yourself, okay, this is not for me, I'm doing this or something? Like, what's that process?
I mean, I think pretty much everybody I've had a chance to work with, they're like, Glenn, you know, take me into your world, like, your zone. What, you know, how do you hear this? Or, like, you know, even having the opportunity to coach people with vocals and stuff, they're like, yo, like, how would you approach this, or what are you hearing? So they kind of give me free range. So
okay,
that's been kind of a beautiful thing. Like, sometimes I'll, like, just, you know, being a lover of making music, like, and whoever it is I'm working with, being aware of what they do, you know, I'll be mindful of it, so that, you know, I'm still aware of their style, their signature style, the things that they offer as an artist. But also at the same time, I would want producers, or I've had even producers and songwriters challenge me, you know, and take me in places that it's not so way out of my comfort zone that I, you know, like I'm playing myself or anything, but like having the opportunity to do something where it's challenging to me. So I'll challenge them that way, where they'll, you know, like I said, they'll ask me like, yo, what would you do, or how you think I should approach this. So, you know, that way it's kind of fun, but I still try to challenge them. I still try to, you know what I mean, like, you know, present them with something or take them somewhere that maybe, you know, they might not necessarily express it that way naturally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. Now my journey took me across some paths that I see you cross as well. You probably way better than me. So
well, I don't know. Let's see.
I used to be on the air on KJLH in L.A.,
Stevie
Wonder station.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
And so, you know, from time to time, you'll get to talk to Stevie. And oh. Stevie Wonder told me how you got on his radar. Can you tell my audience the story?
Okay. I mean, this was mind-blowing. Anybody that loves music, you know, respects music, you know, is absolutely going to respect what that man has done. Like, just as far as a pioneer and a pillar for music, it's crazy. Like, it's really hard to even put into words everything that he's done musically and the amount of people that are influenced by him. But, yeah, like, you know, had the first single came out on Sony Records, and, you know, it was popping all over the country, and it was a great time for me, and I was, you know, it was just, you know, I got the call to come up to KJLH, and I mean, you can tell I'm still kind of stuck on it when I think back to it. It was a crazy experience, but I got the call to come up to the station and did the interview. And matter of fact, wait, were you up there around that time? Were you up there?
I want to say that I was at least around.
When they set up, like, were you there at the time that they set up the keyboard? They had me, like, playing and singing and doing a little interview.
You know what? I don't think I was in the studio that day, but I remember that.
I just want to make sure, because I didn't want you to be like, man, the whole reason why I brought it up, man, is I was there.
No. I wouldn't throw you under the bus like that. You don't remember me, dog? No, I'm not going to do that.
Right, but no, people that do that, too, they'd be like, yeah, man, so you remember that time? But, you know.
No, I don't, nigga. Stop.
Right, exactly.
No.
Right, killing my vibe. But what was I going to say? Yeah, so I went up there, they had the keyboard set up, playing, singing. And it, you know, somebody had mentioned, like, yo, Stevie coming down. I'm like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? Just thinking,
right,
like, you know,
right.
They're just playing with me, whatever. But, I mean, sure, you know, sure enough, like, I was literally, the funny thing is the interview was done, and I was actually about to leave, and I didn't know what was going on. Like, you know, I heard different things. Oh, it was traffic, whatever else, yada, yada, yada. But next thing I know, Stevie rolled through, and we end up back on the air. I'm stuck. Like, I didn't,
wow.
You know, I didn't really know. At that point, I'm like, wow, like, he came to check for me. Like, that's easily, like, that's one of the most humbling experiences ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, he came down and knew the song, starts playing Don't You Forget It and singing it back to me. And I'm standing
there.
If he could have seen the look on my face, he probably would bust out laughing.
Wait a minute, Glenn.
It was hilarious, bro. I was like, I was stuck, bro.
Man, such a great story. We got to do this. We got to play the new joint off a Moment of Truth, man.
Okay.
Let's play this. The name of the song is Can't Say Love. You got a video for this?
Yes, sir. Actually, dropped the video. What was it? It's been about like just under a week, like about 4 or 5 days ago.
Video hot off the presses on the streets.
Yes, that's
and
it. It's on YouTube. It's also on, like, if you go by. Go by Twitter. Matter of fact, it's probably a good idea me throw this out there as well. Whether for those that have heard the single or not, or seen the video or not, you could go by at Being Glenn Lewis on my Twitter page, B-E-I-N-G, Glenn with two N's, because I know some of y'all lazy and just putting one N. But
right.
Being Glenn Lewis, and all the updates, everything, man, like from the video, the single, what's going on with the album, tour dates, everything. Whatever you want to know what's going on with me, or if you just want to say what's up because it's a Tuesday, hit me up. That's me.
Hey, it's really him. He's really tweeting. It's at being Glenn Lewis. That's two N's. Don't get lazy. The video was shot in Philly, directed by Juwan Lee, who is dope to me. Okay.
My man, yeah, he killed it. Oh, man, you know what? Thank you for saying that. I'm glad I got the opportunity to follow up behind you just to let folks know. Juwan Howard, incredible director, had so much fun working with him. That's my brother right there. Like, he killed it.
And you got Nicki Minaj, Trey Songz, and Ginuwine in there, fucker.
Yeah, I wish. Right. But we'll just go along with that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
matter of fact,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they did their little, you know what I'm saying, little feature. You know what I mean?
Little cameo. Little
cameo.
Cameo.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. So let's play the song. The name of the song is Can't Say Love. It's by my man Glenn Lewis. Y'all take a listen.
Girl, I can't fight no more. I'm not being complete. Why someone I love? Not with me, not with me. Gotta get it back somehow. Unless an expiration date has come and gone on us, baby. Yeah. No matter who I'm with, what the crazy is, haven't had enough to be faithful. I haven't said I love you to nobody. I'll be happy when I can say it once again. Give to you my heart, put it in your hand. Until then, I'll be quiet. Oh, oh. See, I can't tell someone something I don't see. To open up, it's got to be real. I can't say love, not without you. No, not that word. Love, not without you. Say I like, maybe I care, maybe I feel deeply, but no, not love. No, not without, I can't say love. No, not without you. Can't say that word, love. Not without you. Say I like,
maybe
I care,
maybe
I feel deeply, but no, not love. No, love told me for you. How we ended up apart, I try to make sense of it, can I stop? Because of you, I know it feels like impossible for me to find that twice.
And do you, baby?
Know the price, young lady, alive. See, I always be missing your vibe. Girl, I'm tired of living a lie. No matter who I'm with, what's so crazy is having out of love, couldn't say it's there. I haven't said I love you to nobody, no. My heart, put it in your hands. Until then, I'll be quiet. See, I can't tell someone something I don't need to open up. It's got to be me. Why can't they love? Not without you. No, not that word. Love, not without you. Say I like, baby, I can't.
Glenn Lewis, great. great song, man. The production on this sucker is so off the chain. And you is singing.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
You know what I mean, though? It's like some people really, I mean, it really feel like you really spilling your guts to your lady. Like, baby, I can't do this without your ass.
Hey, I'm trying to do my thing. You know what I'm saying? But you know just as well as I do, singing or not singing, there comes a point in time where you have to do that.
You got to.
Because we do have a tendency sometimes to slip up now and again. So sometimes, you know, you just got to let these ladies know, like, listen, I understand. I'm messed up. You knew what you got involved with when we got together.
Yes, you did.
So let's just be clear on this. But I am sorry, though. So I hope you can forgive me because I cannot say love without you. And that'll win every time. Whoever's listening right now, I guarantee you let a woman know I can't say and mean it, though.
Yeah.
In your eyes. She make that eye contact. You make that eye contact. You let them know. You hold a hand and pull them in close. Baby, I can't say love without you. How can that not win?
Let me tell you. First of all, let me go on record and say thank you, Glenn Lewis. You understand?
I'm saying, though, hey, I got to say, you know,
all the brothers out there that can't
sing.
you know what I mean?
But it's got to be sincere, though. I don't want you, you know, it ain't about just throwing out a line. It's got to be, you got to mean it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
real.
Not something, you know, that's a part of the problem why we get most of the problems that we get into is using the word love a little too loosely. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear you on that.
Yeah, if it's the real deal, you know, you find yourself in that situation, you let it be known. It's like, this is where I'm at with you. I can't say love without you. I mean, shoot, man. You know, that's all I got to say on that topic, okay?
you got real on us, Glenn. I like that. Hey, the website is Glenn Lewis Official. That's GLENN. Don't get lazy and leave off that N. Glenn Lewis, LEWIS Official, the website, glennlewisofficial.com. And his Twitter page is Being Glenn Lewis. That's GLENNLEWIS. And Facebook is Glenn Lewis, the number 4 real. Man, I can't thank you enough for coming on, man.
Hey, Rodney, man, honestly, man, I appreciate you taking the time out and having me on here. And you know, closer to the date, you know, with the album dropping or when the album drops or whatever, man, let's reconnect, man. I'd love to chop it up with you, man.
Man, consider it done. And I got to play this other one, though, dog, before I let you go.
What's that?
My assistant is a fan, okay?
Okay.
My assistant is a fan, and I'm a fan. But my assistant is a super-duper Glenn Lewis fan. Like, she be following you, okay? So
She
was like, you got to play my favorite song. We had this young lady on the show before. She's a sweetheart. Me and this young lady you did this song with, we talked like we was friends for 30 years. And the first time I ever talked to her, it was crazy. And I got to play this song. It's What's Come Over Me. It's you, it's Mr. Mel LaRue, any closing words you got before I play this, because we're going to be out after that.
Well, first and foremost, to the super fan, don't know by name, but I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the support and everything. And as far as this record goes, Mel's my folks, man, I love her to death. And actually just spoke to her not too long ago, like a couple weeks ago. And, she's pretty incredible. She'll make you feel right at home, like as if you'd known her forever. And she's, you know, she just got an angelic spirit. And she's good folks, you know what I mean? And, that's really about it. Other than that, just want to let people know, you know, not to be cliche or shallow, but definitely look out for that album, August 20th, 2013, album entitled Moment of Truth. And, you know, I put everything into it. So I hope everybody will appreciate it and love it. And I had fun making it. And got the single out, Can't Say Love. And, you know, come check me out at Being Glenn Lewis on Twitter or Glenn Lewis For Real on Facebook. Holla at me. That's me. I'm on there, you know, whenever. So, you know, if cats just want to, you know, come through or fans, whatever, just to reach out and just be like, what's up?
Do you have an Instagram?
I do. It's Being Glenn Lewis. Just, you know, drop that. It's pretty much the same as Twitter, Being Glenn Lewis.
Got it. Done deal. Because, you know, there's a lot of people going to be stalking your pictures and whatnot, so they need to know where to go.
Right.
Hey, Glenn, again, man, thank you. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Hey, y'all, the record is coming out, Moment of Truth, August 2013. And we might be able to get Glenn to come back. You never know. We might do it. Let's do an event. chick. Come on,
yeah,
Dr. The H, baby. Let's put something on.
I'm absolutely with it. Like, just let me know, man. I'm there.
All right, done deal. Hey, done deal. Thanks, Glenn. Hey, the name of the song is What's Come Over Me. We sending this out to Ms. Madeline Smith. Madeline, this your joint. Yo, that's my man Glenn Lewis and Miss Amel LaRue. What's Come Over Me? Thank you again to Glenn Lewis for coming on today. And, man, it's time to really take it, the show to a whole nother level, if I can. Hey, y'all, it's Roddy Perry. You're tuning in to Roddy Perry Live. Don't go nowhere. This is one of them days. Man, the people, you got to love what we're doing over here at Roddy Perry Live. Y'all don't go nowhere. When I come back, man, you ain't ready for this. This is Roddy Perry. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for the latest in comedy, news, and entertainment, the only place to go is the Humor Mill. Check out the website, humormillmag.com. Humor Mill, the only place for comedy, news, and entertainment. I see you, Frank.
4, 3, 2, 1.
What up, y'all? It is time for Off the Chain with me, Rodney Perry. I'm your host. My girl, DJ Tracy Steele, is on the ones and twos, and we premiere October 22nd, 9 p.m. on Bounce TV. You don't want to miss it. The best in stand-up comedy. Let me tell y'all something. It's going to be so off the chain. Did I say that? Off the chain. I'm crazy. Bounce TV. That's www.bouncetv.com. Hit them up on Twitter, Bounce_TV. They're at Bounce_TV. This is Rodney Perry, and I'm the host, bitch.
Hey, y'all. Stay right there. We come back. More Rodney Perry Live.
Hi. You are not going to believe this. I bought Pepsi Next.
What's Pepsi Next?
It's the new cola from Pepsi. It's got real cola taste, but 60% less sugar.
Real cola taste. 60% less sugar.
I know.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
But this is the most impressive thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Oh, definitely. Let me get a camera. I've never had anything like it. My parents are going to...
Yeah, they're going to be so proud.
Introducing Pepsi Next. Drink it to believe it.
Are you getting this, honey? Going viral.
Hey, y'all, it's your boy Rodney Perry, and we are back live and direct. Man, it's time to take the show to a place where it need to go, you understand? I'm about to bring in my man, hit us up, McKinley. You in there? Where you at?
Going on, bro? What's going on?
Man, I can't thank you enough for coming on, dog. You got so much stuff going on. You're a model, okay, people don't even know about. Actor. Poetize. What don't you do?
Man, I'm trying to figure that out. If I can't do it, I'm working on it. So, man, that's the hustle, though. You know what I mean?
Man, I love it, man. Speak to me about the hustle, man, because, you know, as we make this journey as actors and writers and, you know, and the respective creative areas, people don't know what it takes to, you know, when the world don't know yet.
Yeah. I mean, you already know, man. I think there's a couple pieces of that. One thing is that, man, you gotta know what you want before everybody else recognizes that you have it. If that makes any sense. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, you gotta know where you want to go and be, you know, unwavering in your journey to get there, because there's gonna be plenty of, you know, ups and downs. You know what I mean? I think the most important thing for me is that, you know, and life, no matter what path you choose, is gonna be ups and downs. So why, you know, burden yourself with other people's expectations or ideas of what your life should be, and you define those and let them be your ups and downs, at least, you know, it's on choices that you make. So, and you know how it goes. And then along the way, you'll get lots of no's, but, you know, after a while, that's just part of the yes, and, you know, you just keep it moving, you know. But you got to see the end. You got to see the end from the beginning. You know, continue to plug away even when it seems like there's nothing in front of you. You know what I mean?
Okay, give me these two people. Give me the person, other than you, that believed in you, you know, before the movies, and give me the person that you still cool with that didn't believe.
Man, the person, I mean, it's cliche, but the person that believed in me before anybody else were my mom and dad. You know, I went the school route, man. I got a bachelor's in finance and an MBA in marketing. I was, you know, worked for IBM there for a second, doing like worldwide marketing and stuff, and I was flying all around the world, you know, doing that successfully. But then when the passion hit me for acting and this other stuff, you know, I was choosing to step away, and my parents were just like, look, we believe you can do anything, and if that's what you choose to do, we believe it'll work for you. And as an adult, you know, you blaze your own path and you go your own way, and you make your own decisions, but still to have that kind of support is you can't really measure how great that is. And as far as the people or the person that says, you know, that I might be cool with or not be cool with that doubted it, man, I don't really know, man, because at the end of the day, I just throw it in the fire and it just makes more fuel. So it could be a name, it could be a person, it could be a moment, it could be, you know, a casting person, it could be, it doesn't take much for me. I wake up in the morning motivated, so I don't need a name or face to make me work harder. So I don't think I necessarily have one specific person. But doubt other people's doubt or whatever, man, it's like, man, okay, let me just, I don't have to say nothing, just watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't believe, just watch.
You got such a great resume, man. I mean, as I look down at the projects you've been a part of, from End to Watch to which my girl Chandrella Avery is in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, and Delta Force and Sharpshooters and Years Later. Man, such a – and then, I mean, you got TV. You have to be one hell of an auditioner.
Man, bro, I tell you what, it's funny, man. At some point, everything kind of slows down. I mean, when you first get into it, you know, you get in the rooms and you're concerned about all these other things, and at some point, it's just like, man, you just have to stop caring. You know what I mean? And it's ironic.
When was that for you? When did you go, you know what, if I book it, I book it. If I don't, I don't.
Man, it was, it was probably a good, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, man, where, you know, I've always had the mentality that, you know, somebody else's step forward isn't my step backwards, and I've always believed that.
Wow.
But then, you know, having to, you know, go through this casting process and seeing things happen, and ultimately there's so many choices that are outside of so many factors that go into choices that are outside of your control. Why spend time worrying about them? So it's just like, you know what, I'm going to go here and have fun. And, you know, one of the things that I try to tell folks is that, like, man, whether you choose to do acting or, you know, as you're doing with the radio stuff, it's like, listen, man, like, let's look down the road here, and you're going to win a bunch of radio awards, going to do bigger and better things and all these other things. But, yo, the positive outcome and the feeling that goes along with that, you shouldn't just have that when you get there. You got to learn how to enjoy the process. And if you can do that, it makes all the small steps along the way, you know, it's just part of the journey. So, man, you know, I go into these auditions and stuff, man, and I'm just like, man, I want to go in and have fun. And when I leave the room, I want to know that I did what I came here to do. And I do that, you know what I mean? And whether they choose me or not, man, that's outside of my control. And, you know, I keep it moving, bro. I don't really too much think about it, you know what I mean? And if one of my boys gets it or somebody else, man, congratulations to them. And, you know, it's on to the next one. I don't really spend too much time worried about it.
I love it, man. Hey, y'all, this is Rodney Perry. You tuned in to Rodney Perry Live. We're talking to Mr. McKinley Freeman, dog. As an actor in this game, it is super competitive. It is a place where you got to put that work in that people don't see that work. Talk to the actor that might listen to this show today about the work you've put in. You know, whether that's acting classes, because people don't understand. They just see you and they think, oh, he just came out of nowhere, but that's not true.
Nah, I mean, when I was working, before I even got into this full, I mean, I was doing it full time when I was working for IBM, so I was working 50, 70 hours a week, and then would, you know, get off work, go to the gym, and then sit in acting class till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and do it all over again. So, you know, there's a choice about the direction I wanted my life to go that I wanted to be consistent with. But as far as the work, man, it's like, in all the years I've been in L.A. probably about 8 years, and in those 8 years, man, I probably missed acting class or being in class for about 2 months. Whether I wanted to be there or not, it's like going to the gym. Sometimes you don't want to go there, but it's not exactly what you want. It's what you need to arm yourself with the information and the tools to be able to be successful, you know, in the journey or whatever. But, man, it's a hustle, bro. Like, you know, going into, you know, pilot seasons and last year, when, you know, the season when I booked Hit the Floor and I also booked Devious Maid, you know, there was a time there when it was slow for me, man, and, like, I was like, I wanted to stay on par, so I got a Diana Cass was a really great acting coach here in California. She got me in the habit of, you know, spending at least an hour a day working on just doing imagination work, man. So I have this book that has, like, 365 poems, and I would just take whatever day it was. I mean, it's, you know, January, February, blah, blah, blah. I would take whatever day it was and just spend an hour a day on a new poem every day, just working my imagination with, you know, different poets and stuff, and just really allowing myself to see what it is that they saw when they wrote, if that makes any sense. So
wow.
it's like creative gymnastics. Man, like, will I ever have to do that on some of this stuff? No, but it's like, you know, you do all these exercises and stay engaged, you know, from a creative perspective, so that when you get on set, you know, you can be the, you know, most complete tool for at the director's disposal to create the perfect picture in their eyes. So it's just about being, you know, being prepared, man, because you just never know. Like, the smallest thing you know, the small thing you might step on there and do, which you might think might be a little off, but you do it anyway. They might be like, oh, you know what? We like that. We want you to you do that more. Whatever that thing is, just keep doing it. You know what I mean? So it's fun, man. But the cool thing about the process for me, especially with Hit the Floor, is it was kind of the first time where, you know, when you book like guest stars and co-stars, you go into a situation where about, you know, 90-95%, they know exactly how they want you to be. You're there to help move the story along and do your thing. But with Hit the Floor, man, you know, they say, okay, here's some words on the page. Now go create something. We're trusting. You know what I mean? So you got to have the confidence and also, you know, the work ethic to be able to do that. And I'm very grateful for, you know, the teachers that I've worked with and the things that I've learned along the way that helped prepare me for that opportunity. So, and the rest, I mean, we're done shooting, so now the episodes are coming on, and, you know, I guess it's just a matter of time to figure out if it worked or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
I might be answering now,
Hit the Floor is a dance series.
Well, Hit the Floor is a drama, a scripted drama on VH1 that has a strong dance element, but it isn't necessarily a dance show because there's a lot of overlapping from a dance team with the basketball team, ownership and all this other stuff. So it's definitely a drama as opposed to a dance, but there is a dance. There's like a strong dance component to it. I mean, we have one of the best choreographers in the world, Michael Rooney, that choreographed the dance sequences for the whole first season. And then if you look at the dancers themselves, like some of them were either one or were runners up on So You Think You Can Dance or tour with Lady Gaga or
So they the real deal when it comes to dance.
Oh, look, bro, let me tell you something, man.
They got you dancing on there, Mac?
Man, come on, bro. I got a two-step for you. It's like a nice pair of jeans, bro. It goes with anything, you know. But these ladies are amazing. You know, I got like a profound respect for dance after, you know, spending a lot of time getting to know them and see how hard they work. It's really amazing, man. So. So there is a strong dance component, but the great thing that James LaRose, he's the executive producer, and the writers did was, you know, make it a compelling story. So even if the dance component wasn't part of it, the story is so compelling that I think it intrigues people anyway. So it all works together.
Now, when you book a show like this, right, you said, you've been guest starring, co-starring, and doing – on this show, you wanted the dudes. Like – What's the difference for you? I mean, is your trailer bigger? You know, is it, you know, you got cable? You know, what's the difference?
You know what the difference is? Is the responsibility is greater. I mean, the trailer is the same size. You know, there are certain things that come along with it that you have to be thinking about, like, you know, publicists and all these other things that, you know, might necessarily weren't on the priority list, but should be, you know, as you go about trying to create a brand and you know, build that part of your business. But the real thing for me, man, is just, you know, I don't get caught up in all that stuff. You know what I mean? My thing is it's about the work first and foremost, and the rest of the stuff will come. So my thing is the biggest thing for me is just a responsibility, you know, both to the show and to myself, because I'm coming up and I played basketball in college. And one of the things I remember, one of my coaches told me in high school, was like, man, you don't ever want to, like, just coast through practice and then, you know, you mess around and not win a state championship and you look back and say, man, I should have worked harder in practice.
Wow.
So that kind of mentality, man, with acting and preparing for Hit the Floor, it's like, man, I hate to be on the phone with you right now and be 99.7% confident that I did everything, but in the back of my mind, there's 0.03 that's like, man, I could have done more. So in that regard, it's like, man, there's a responsibility to do my, you know, it's to do my job at a high level, but underneath that is, you know, all the small things that make that possible. So,
man, you're doing the work, you're putting the work in, and now it's starting to pay off. I mean, the show is hitting the streets. Have you felt it yet?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, man. Like, you know, it's, you know, when I go to the gym in the morning, like, you know, the show premieres, the new episodes air on Monday, right? Monday nights on VH1, like 9 Eastern, 8 Central, and then I think 8 and 9 Pacific time. But the next day and throughout the week, they re-air, man. So I'm at the gym this morning, man, and I'm on this machine. I'm on a little cardio machine, and the show is on. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get away from this TV. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't want to be, like, sitting there watching.
You don't want to be that dude, you know, watching
your
show.
No, I'm not trying to be that guy. It's slightly nerve-wracking, and it's just like, man, let me just – because that's done. You know, I can't go back and change that. Let me, you know, let me
right.
focus, wrap my mind around what potentially may be coming next. But it's been cool, man. Like, I think the response on social media has been fantastic, and I've been doing a pretty decent job of keeping up with folks on Twitter and Instagram, replying to people, and you know, I think that's a big part of it, you know, as time allows. But on the whole, man, it's going well. I think the word of mouth about the show is getting around, and I think, again, the show speaks for itself. I mean, I think there's a lot of intriguing, entertaining moments in it, and there's a lot more stuff to come. So I just think that people seem to be interested in how the story goes and the relationships with the characters and stuff. So, you know, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And I definitely give my hats off to my castmates and everything for, you know, putting in the work and, you know, buying into this thing as a team that we could build something pretty cool. And I think the response is that maybe we have. And I guess as the season progresses, we'll definitely continue to find out. So that's exciting.
Man, that's super duper exciting. Now, this is a question I like to ask anytime I get to talk to an actor. If you could play a human being that's, you know, living or lived in a feature film, who would that be?
Well, I got a two-part answer. If we're talking about, like, you know, like perhaps like a biopic kind of thing, like I would love to.
Yeah, maybe like a biopic or maybe like a type of person if you want to go there.
Sure. Well, if it was a biopic, I think I would love to play Marvin Gaye.
Wow.
I think his influence through, you know, his music influence speaks for itself. But then if you understand the context of the times, it provides an even greater respect and insight into what the music represented, like what's going on. Like, you know, like if you think of listening to the lyrics of what's going on, then understand the context of, like, you know, Vietnam and when it all came out. Like, that's a pretty powerful thing, you know what I mean? And then, of course, that's right on the heels of the Civil Rights Movement, and, you know, we're in the process of, you know, healing as a nation and beginning to understand new things and get greater revelations about who we are as humans and those kinds of things. So that's kind of one thing. But on the other hand, it would be cool to, like, play a superhero, be, you know, kind of be like one of those cats, because, you know, I grew up, you know, I always read comic books and stuff when I was a kid, and to have an opportunity to be some kind of superhero or action movie, or I don't know if that'd be like Shaft 3.0 or whatever.
Right.
whatever that might be, man. You know what I mean? That could be cool too, man. So,
what's your big love? Is it acting? Is it modeling? Is it poetry? You know, which one of those things, or if at all, which one of those things is your foundation?
Oh, by far and away, it's the acting thing. I mean, the modeling thing was cool, but it wasn't like it was more a part of the hustle. You know what I mean? The end goal was always to be, you know, focused on acting and make that my livelihood. Because I went the corporate route, and it was fun, and you know, it was rewarding, you know, financially and all these other things. But at the end of the day, like, that stuff didn't make me happy. So, you know, if it's one thing to you know, have a bunch of money and obtain the things as you grew up that you thought were important, and then to obtain them and realize that they're not, you have a responsibility to yourself to change that if that's what you choose to do, or you sit around and complain the rest of your life. So my thing was just, you know, really being honest with myself about, you know, what I was passionate about, and it was far and away the acting thing. And so as a means to an end, you know, I did the modeling stuff along with it, and commercials and these kinds of things as well, to, as part of the hustle, to help, you know, pay for acting classes and, you know, stay on the grind. So, but the poetry stuff, man, I'm telling you, I could go a good two years without writing, and then I could literally sit up and write for like 3 days straight.
Really?
When I'm inspired, that's when I write. Like, otherwise, I just don't, you know, if I'm not inspired to write anything, I just don't write. So.
Got it. Could we look for like a coffee table book one day, or the McKinley Freeman poetic stylings?
Man, I think that's a strong possibility, man. I just have to get my arms around, you know. It's funny, like when I first moved here, I literally was writing all the time, because I was, you know, when I was transitioning from, you know, the corporate world to being a full-time actor, or actually doing both there for a while, and then just focusing just on acting, and I actually wrote quite a bit, and I actually did write, you know, kind of a book, but it would require me to go back and revisit those things, because at the time they could have been super deep, and I thought they were profound, and I look back like, man, these are nursery rhymes. So, you know, it's like one of those, right, This sounds like Dr. Seuss, but you know, it just required me to kind of go back and you know, kind of reevaluate and reprioritize some of the stuff that I've written over the years. But it's definitely something that I'd be open to do. But you know, we'll take one thing at a time. I think right now, now that we're on, you know, we're done shooting the first season, and you know, it's back to auditioning for movies and these kinds of things. I have a little bit more time to figure those kinds of things out. But I would love to do something like that.
Now, is there a pressure? I mean, you're on a hot show, you're on VH1. Is there a pressure to hook up with the It Girl and y'all become this power couple thing? Is that, do you feel that?
Man, no. Not at all. Not at all, bro. I'm going to tell you something, man. Like, I don't subscribe to pressure from anybody. I'm like, man, at the end of the day, I'm not too concerned about other people's opinion. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion and their own point of view and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, you know, when I go to sleep and wake up in the morning, I got to wake up and be responsible for my own choices. And, you know, I can't honestly look myself in the mirror and be dating somebody that I don't want to be dating just because somebody else says I should. You know, so, like, yeah, no, there's no pressure on that side, at least not yet. I mean, we're only three episodes in. We talk in 2 weeks, I could be like, man, these mothers are trying to hook me up with so-and-so. You know what I mean? But for right now, nah, man, that kind of pressure doesn't exist.
Oh, I love it. So are you from Chicago?
Man, I'm from Champaign, Illinois. It's about an hour and some change south of Chicago.
Well, you know, I'm a Chicagoan, so I saw Oak Park, Illinois. I'm like, wait a minute, is he from the Chi?
No, I'm not from. I'm from Champaign, man. I was born and raised there. Then I lived up in Chicago there for a while, working for a computer company. But I got family all over the place up there. I got a cousin on the south side over there, like 87th and Ashland, like 87th and the Dan Ryan over there by the Harolds. You know what I'm talking about? But,
yeah, I know exactly. That's my grandmother there, right around the corner. You know, I probably know your people.
Yeah. And they got that valley that's like, you know, a little questionable. I think they closed it, but yeah, man, I spent a lot of time in Chicago when I go back. But no, I was born and raised in Champaign, man.
Okay, I got to ask you. I know you who you like, San Antonio or the Heat?
Man, I'm it's going to sound weird, man, but I'm pulling for the Heat, man. I think you know, at the end of the day, it's primarily for LeBron, man, because I feel like as much you know, accolades and stuff the dude receives, I still don't think people appreciate how good a ball player he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like 6'9", 260, can play all five positions. I'm like, yeah, it's almost like, I said this analogy to one of my boys last week. The thing about, you know, when you talk about great players, like even Jordan, like every year he was in the league, he should have won MVP. And then you think about a cat like Kobe, you know, you get so used to seeing him, you forget how good he is. And I said, you know, it's kind of like going to the grocery store and seeing Superman once a week. It's like, man, after a while, you kind of start to forget that he's Superman.
Yeah, that's old boy. That's old boy in a blue tight. He become old boy in a blue tight.
Look at old boy in the blue tights picking up avocados. You know what I mean? It's like he loses luster a little bit. But, like, yo, LeBron is like, you get so used to seeing a dude almost averaging a triple-double. It's like, okay, what else he can do? But I'm like, man, let's take a pause for a second and step back. Like, only one person in the history of the game has done better, you know, in terms of almost reaching a triple-double, and that's Oscar Robertson. So I'm like, man, and he's one of the greatest players of all time. So, you know, I just it would be cool for LeBron to win just to continue to build his resume, because I think, you know, I'm a huge Jordan fan, and I always believe he'll be the greatest of all time. But, you know, LeBron's going to be like 1B when his career's over, I think.
You know, I watched last night, they did a thing on NBA TV about Dr. J. And watching that special helped me put Jordan and LeBron and even Kobe into perspective, because Dr. J only got one ring, and that don't diminish his legacy.
You know what? Doc in the ABA was like in his prime, so we don't even have footage of that, you know?
Right. Ain't no pictures of that.
No pictures, just rumors. like urban legends. Like this man.
Yeah, he's like folklore. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, man, Doc was the truth, and it's like, man, we caught Doc on the decline, but even then, he was, you know, one of the greatest players in NBA history. So,
wow,
yeah, bro.
Awesome, man. So, as an athlete, you know, and you know, making the transition into the acting world, what are some of those tenets you take from that competition that part of your life, that competition, into it as an actor?
Man, first and foremost, to get to the competition, you got to be prepared. And I think the work ethic part that I learned, you know, through, you know, athletics, both in season and preseason, you know, is just part of my life in whatever arena, whether it be acting or business or whatever. You know, being prepared, doing everything you can, and then, you know, being flexible to be able to change if necessary. But as far as, like, you know, the competition part, it's like, man, at the end of the day, I'm going to be prepared. Like, you know, they always say, you know, success is when opportunity meets preparation. Like, and in that equation, the only thing you can control is the preparation part. So, like, man, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So, I stay on point, you know, with the workout stuff, stay on point mentally and physically and mentally. And it's just, you know, be on point and making sure that, you know, the whatever weaknesses I have, I'm continuing on a regular basis to make those strengths and, you know, just being prepared. But, like, at the end of the day, I can't be concerned about anybody else. Like, man, when you step on the court, it's a dance. But, you know, an audition, it's like you're not auditioning against somebody else. You go in there and do your thing, and it's more like golf than it is basketball. You know, it's like you go in and do your thing, and somebody else goes and does their thing. And, like, at the end of the day, man, congratulations. You won the Masters. Like, you know, I win the PGA. I win the U.S. Open. It's all good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I can only control what I control. Because, really, man, that's like me asking you, like, you know, what do you think about your other radio competition and what they're doing? I'm like, man, you don't got the time to be thinking about that, nor should you. It's like, man, they're gonna do what they do. I'm gonna do what I do, and in the end, chips gonna fall where they fall, and I'm gonna keep it moving. Like, I'm not concerned one bit at all. You know what I mean?
Hey, you're absolutely right, man. Hey, I can't thank you enough, McKinley, for coming on today, man. The name of the show is Hit the Floor. It's on VH1. It's running now Mondays. You can check him out on there. Or you can just hit him up on Twitter or on Instagram. He's at McKinley Freeman, man, Midwest homeboy. You know, I'm going to give you a shot because Champagne is close.
Champagne is close. And yeah, you know what, man? If you ever out this way and we got something going on, man, definitely give me a heads up. And, you know, if you ever need to, you want to holler at me after the season's over or whatever the case may be, man, let's be in touch and we'll make it work.
Done deal, man. I'm in L.A. all the time. And I might be out there in July playing a couple of comedy clubs out there. So we hang out, man, and, you know, have a couple
all right,
of drinks.
Thank you, bro.
Done deal. Hey, man, thanks a lot for coming on, bro.
All right, bro.
Hey, y'all. It's Roddy Perry. Tune in to Roddy Perry Live. That was my man, McKinley Freeman. The show is Hit the Floor. Check it out. We'll be right back. Y'all stay right there.
What's up, everybody around the world? Thanks for tuning in to Roddy Perry Live. Remember to follow Rodney on Twitter, at Rodney Perry. And for all of your Rodney Perry updates, text Rodney Perry, with no spaces, to 41411. Again, to stay up to date, text Rodney Perry, with no spaces, to 41411.
Hi.